Join us now for Call to Worship, dedicated to presenting the truth of God's Word. Call to Worship is sponsored by Zion Chapel of Holland.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear His voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the people rejoice.
I will sing of my Redeemer and His wondrous love to me. On the cruel cross He suffered, from the curse to set me free. Sing, O sing, of my Redeemer. With His blood He purchased me. On the cross He sealed my pardon, paid the debt, and made me free. Reading from Romans chapter 8, beginning at verse 16. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with Him, that we may be glorified together. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of Him who hath subjected the same in hope, because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption unto the glorious liberty of the children of God. So far we read God's holy word, and certainly it is that, the Holy Bible. Let's give thanks for it, see God's blessing on it, as we try to consider, especially the suffering of Christ, which we must know rightly first, before we can rightly suffer with Him. Our Father, we come to Thee through Christ Jesus, He who is on Thy right hand, He who has come down to earth, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, buried, and rose again from the dead, and came back again to thy throne, where thou dost give him that wonderful place, making him to have a name which is above every name, and bringing him to that place, giving him the honor, till all thy enemies, Lord Jesus, be thy footstool. We give thanks when thou hast made us thy footstool, for it is only by thy grace that we are willing to come to such a place. As thou hast said, thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power. And we pray now for that power that has saved sinners, that it will revive sinners, that the church might be revived in our time, be revived in love, revived in obedience, revived in prayer, revived in many other ways from sin and to righteousness, and especially revived to have the mind as Paul had when he could say, I have continual sorrow for my brethren, my kinsmen according to the flesh, that we might have sorrow for all those that must yet be called and saved. And we pray that that may take place, if it could be thy will, in a mighty way, in our areas, in our nation, in the world, for both Jew and Gentile. We pray that there might be a time of ingathering, that there might be a time of showers of blessings. And we pray, Father, in the name of Christ, as the psalmist could say, turn us, O Lord, and we shall be saved when thy face shines once more. And we pray for more of thy Spirit to be given because of Christ. We also give thanks for the natural blessings that we have. We in this area, far more than many others, we pray for those that are suffering. The ravages of the fires, the wind, the storms, the hurricanes, others suffering, and the ravages of war. We pray for them. We pray for those being persecuted. We pray, Father, for the many other calamities that are there, in the broken homes, the children in those homes. We pray for those in hunger, starvation. We pray especially for those dying in starvation, that they might have thy word before the hour of death. We pray also, Father, for those that are in sickness and injury. We pray for the many that are under the sad effects of the virus. We pray for healing. And we pray, Father, for healing in other areas as well, of those in sickness and injury, those that have suffered, some of them, for long times already. We know that thou canst still give healing as thou didst do it when thou wast here on earth. We pray that thou wilt be the physician, both of the body and soul. We pray especially now that thou wilt lead us in this word, that we might know thy suffering, and we might be made willing to suffer with thee for thy glory, all in thy name. Amen. As we look again at those words given, we read that the Spirit beareth witness with our spirit that we are children of God. That takes place when we have the blessing, as Peter described it on the day of Pentecost. When they asked what they must do, he says, repent. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. They would then have the witness of the Spirit. After repentance, their sins remitted in justification, and they would have that witness. But Paul doesn't stop there with that 16th verse. He says, if children, then heirs, and joint heirs with Christ, and then the if in the middle of that 17th verse. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. Last week we saw some of the suffering of Christ as it was spoken of by the Old Testament prophets. Also, Christ himself spoke of how he would suffer, die, and rise again. Many times over, he spoke those words to the apostles, but we read they did not understand. Sometimes we read they feared to ask, but it was there. He spoke of it, and we know he did suffer terribly. In the Garden of Gethsemane, praying, asking the Father that cup could pass from him, but also saying with it, not my will, but thine be done. We read that he sweat, as it were, great drops of blood. And it was not long after that that Judas came with a band. He was bound, led away to the high priest's house. And there he had to suffer. As Luke tells us, they smote him, struck him, blindfolded him, and asked, who smote thee? And they said many things blasphemously against him, both in the evening and then again the next morning after he was brought to Pilate. The soldiers mocked him and put a crown of thorns on his head, they put a reed in his hand, and then they would take the reed and smite him on that thorny crown. And we can just imagine the awfulness of that, the thorns coming down into his skull, pricking into his head and bleeding, the awfulness of what he suffered both the mockery, suffered, as Luke tells us, they spoke blasphemously against him, terrible, against the Son of God, one who was one with the Father, their creator, their sustainer, and the one who had come to die in their place, but they wanted him to be killed in hatred. Sometimes we see the same thing today and even on the earth, in natural ways. People that want to do good are hated for it. On the Old Testament, many had to suffer. The Lord Jesus said, "Which of the prophets have not your fathers killed and stoned them which were sent unto them?" And now Christ, the head of all them, the leader of all them, himself, as he said in the parable of one of the times when a man had the vineyard and sent servants to gather, they beat some, they killed one, and then he said, "Last of all, I'll send my son." And those in the vineyard said, "This is the heir, come let us kill him." And those that he spoke it to knew that he was speaking of him, and their hatred continued. And now in the Garden of Gethsemane, they took him, Judas being the betrayer, and then bringing him that next morning to Pilate, and Pilate over and over said, "I find no fault in him." But they cried out the more, "Crucify him, crucify him." How that must have hanged through the Lord Jesus. Short time before that, what we call Palm Sunday, he cried when he came into Jerusalem and said, "Thou dost not know the time of thy visitation." He was being crowned king, but he must have suffered in that, knowing that he was being refused as the suffering Savior, the Lamb of God. After he was mocked finally by Pilate, Herod's soldiers as well, and then taken and led to Gethsemane, and there crucified. And they mocked him there, mocked him on the cross. Can you imagine dying that terrible, terrible death and suffering? As Paul writes to the church at Galatia, "He became a curse for us. For it is written, everyone that hangeth on a tree is cursed." That's what Christ had, hanging on that cross, bearing our curse and being cursed in a way of death, and many other ways beside. As he spoke, it would take place, and it did. And we know that throughout the scripture, we have it described. Paul, in writing to the Corinthians, could say that he became poor, that we might be rich. He hungered, he thirsted, he was mocked. In that way, he became poor. He wasn't acknowledged as the Son of God. And we can see all these different ways spoken of, the way that he was humbled and the way that he had to suffer. We read in Paul's letter to the Hebrews, chapter 2, and verse 9, we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he by the grace of God should taste death for every man. For it became him, for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, and bringing many sons into glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. Christ was there suffering. He tasted death. He came a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death. So it's another time in which that suffering is described. We also read it in other places in Paul's letter to the Hebrews, the 5th chapter. "So also Christ glorified not himself to be made an high priest, but in that he said, Thou art my son, today have I begotten thee. He saith also in another place, Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek, who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death, and was heard in that he feared. And though he were a son, he learned obedience by the things which he suffered." So we read there twice, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears. Then again, he learned obedience by the things that he suffered. That's how Paul describes him to the Hebrew Christians. After he had died, risen again, sent it up to heaven. And now there were some of those Hebrews that had been saved, and a church was there that Paul could write to. Also in the last part of that book of Hebrews, chapter 13, verse 12, "For Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate." And then we have to do as Paul said, we have to suffer with him. And that's described there in the next verse. "Let us go forth therefore unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. For we have here no continuing city, but we seek one to come." We'll try to speak more of that in another week, of our own suffering, how it can be done. But we must see first of all that he had to suffer for us, or we cannot be right with God. We cannot be justified except by his death and all the suffering that preceded it, the suffering that must have taken place in those 6 hours on the cross, 3 hours in the light from the third hour in the morning to the sixth hour, and then from the sixth hour to the ninth hour, darkness. He hung there in the darkness. We don't know what others did, but we know that he was there, and toward the end of it, he had to cry out, "My God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" And as I said those words last week, the answer is, because of you, because of me, God forsook him and brought him to that awful suffering, not only the physical suffering, but the spiritual suffering of being forsaken by the Father. And as we read here from Hebrews, he went forth without the camp. He was cast out, led out of Jerusalem to Golgotha's hill. And so we have all those ways of him suffering and different ways in which that is described to the different churches as they are written to them. Peter is one that described Christ's suffering every chapter in his first letter. He speaks of we suffering, the church, in the first chapter, the sixth verse, "Wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if needs be, you are in heaviness through manifold temptation, that the trial of your faith, being more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ." But then he goes on to speak of all the suffering that Christ did. And we see it first of all mentioned in the 11th verse of this first chapter of 1 Peter. "Searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ which was in them did signify when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow." Peter is speaking there of those who had not seen him but believed in him. The prophets that he described in the 10th verse, when he said, "Of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you." And they would talk of the suffering. We read of that last week from Isaiah 53, and also the first part of that chapter that describes us and our sin, and declares and says, "When we saw him, there was no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men." What a suffering that must have been for Christ, even for those 4,000 years before he came here, born of the Virgin Mary, that he knew through all those years what was going to happen when he came to earth. And he knew the mind of Israel as well, as Stephen could say, that they had killed those who prophesied of the coming of the Just One. And then Stephen added with it, "Of whom you have now been betrayers." It was there all through history. Refusing Christ, refusing Christ, refusing Christ. You and I are guilty as well. As Christ said just before he died, that when the Spirit comes, he will reprove of sin and righteousness and judgment of sin because they believe not on me. That's one of the first works of the Spirit in us. He gives us the new birth. He makes us see the kingdom of God, but he makes us see that we despise it, that we do not want to believe in Christ, who is the actual kingdom of God. As he said, "Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand," when he was there on earth. And there's many different ways in which the kingdom of God is described, but especially is it through the gospel that we enter into that kingdom, as well as many other ways that are spoken of, but the one source is Christ alone and what he did. And Peter here says to the prophets in the past, "Searched out what manner of time the Spirit of Christ that was in them did signify when it testified beforehand, Isaiah testifying of it 700 years before Christ was born, and others spoke of it as well, where he would be born, and as we read from Psalm 22, his sufferings there, beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow. Also we read in the second chapter of 1 Peter, chapter 2, verse 21, "For even hereunto were you called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow his steps." There's our instruction, going back to Romans 8, if we suffer with him. And here we read, Peter says, "Christ also suffered for us, he died for us, paying that price, but also was an example that we should follow his steps." That's what we have in baptism when we die with him, are buried. We then acknowledge that, and we suffer with him, beginning to deny ourselves, take up our cross, and from then on, the flesh must be crucified. And he says here, leaving us an example in his suffering, suffering before he died, suffering in his death. Peter speaks of it in the next chapter, chapter 3, verse 18. "For Christ also once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit." He suffered once for sins, your sins and mine, that he might bring us to God. We are welcome to come back to God because the price has been paid, the awful price of his suffering, his death, his shed blood. Suffering before he died, suffering in his death, and when we ever put him to an open shame, now, after he's in heaven, that must also make him suffer. But here, what a wonderful thing. So much is described in that verse. Suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. And once again, Peter says, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened in the Spirit. All of that is for us to believe concerning the gospel of Christ. It is the gospel that he suffered, died, was buried, and rose again, all according to the Scripture, from the very beginning of the writing of Scripture, and all through it, first of all, prophesying of it, and then describing it, and then later doing like Peter here, calling us to understand it, and to further explain it. Going to the fourth chapter, the first verse, "For as much then as Christ has suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind, for he that hath suffered for us in the flesh hath ceased from sin, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lust of men, but to the will of God." We have there both the suffering, and Peter is also calling us to suffer with him, as Paul did there in Romans chapter 8. We are learning here of the suffering of Christ, but also the application as well. Are we willing to suffer with him? Are we ready to arm ourselves likewise with the same mind? Going further into that fourth chapter, verse 13, we read, "But rejoice inasmuch as you are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, you may be glad also with exceeding joy." There are some things that Christ suffered that we suffer with him, the mocking and other things like that. But there is also the area that we do not have to suffer with him. We do not have to die for our sin after he has once died for it, paid the price, and shed his blood. So we can join with him in his suffering as he was mocked and as he was denied. That took place along the way before he was crucified. The scribes and Pharisees tried to trick him. They tried to stop him, spoke against him. They even said what he did, that he did by the power of the devil. And sometimes the church is accused of that in the same way. And that's what Peter is talking about. He says, "You may be partakers of Christ's suffering, that when his glory shall be revealed, you may be glad also with exceeding joy. If you be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are you, for the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you, and on their part he is evil spoken of, but on your part he is glorified." Peter also gives the warning, "But let none of you suffer as a murderer, or as a thief, or as an evildoer, or as a busybody in other man's matters. Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed. Let him glorify God on this behalf. So we have Peter's mentioning Christ's suffering, but ours with it in that portion. And then going to the last chapter, the fifth chapter, we read in verse 1, "The elders which are among you exhort, who also am an elder, and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed." Yes, Peter was there when Christ was crucified, and Peter was there in the garden when they took him, and Peter was there in the house of the high priest, and probably added to Christ's suffering when he denied him 3 times. Christ said he would, and then when he did, Christ looked at him after the cock crew, as Christ said it would. And then we read, "Peter went out and wept bitterly." And here he says, "I'm a witness of the sufferings of Christ." He made Christ suffer himself. Earlier in the ministry of Christ, when the Lord Jesus said he was going to suffer and die and rise again, Peter rose up and said, "Not so." And Christ had to rebuke him and say, "Get thee behind me, Satan." Peter was not ready for what Christ came down to earth to do, to be the suffering Savior, to be the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Have you known better than Peter did at that time? Peter wanted him to be a king, wanted him to be a leader, and others did as well. And many want that today. But the way of Christ is a way of humility, a way of suffering, a way of being mocked. Peter says we have to arm ourselves to be ready for it. Sometimes we talk about persecution ahead in our country. Are we ready to stand? We haven't stood against sin in the past. That's why we need so badly revival in the church. Going on in this fifth chapter, the 10th verse, "But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you suffered a while, make you perfect and establish and strengthen and settle you." In that verse, Peter's not talking about the suffering of Christ, but he's talking about the suffering that we are to do with him, as Paul calls it. Suffer with him. Suffer under persecution. And Christ said, "Blessed are they that are persecuted for righteousness' sake," and how we need to pray for those who are being persecuted today. Some of them from other countries have come to visit us, and they have said they would not trade the suffering of their persecution for our lukewarmness and for our being so much at ease in Zion. They saw that as a greater danger than the persecution that they suffered. And that's probably why Paul says so plainly, if we suffer with him, if we suffer with him, what if we don't? Christ said, if you deny me before men, I will deny you before the Father. And it's time that, as God tells us 3 times through the pen of Paul, to the church at Rome, it's high time to awake out of sleep. Church at Ephesus, awake thou that sleepest and rise from the dead, and Christ will give thee light. Another time, the Corinthians, awake to righteousness. And if those churches had to awake, certainly we do today, and be ready to suffer with Christ. Let me read again this wonderful song. "I will sing of my Redeemer and his wondrous love to me. On the cruel cross he suffered from the curse to set me free."
To God be the glory.
Thanks for listening to Call to Worship. If you have questions or comments regarding today's program, you can write to Zion Chapel, 937 Royce Avenue, Holland, Michigan, 49423. Or their email address is worship@calltoworship.org. For more information on Call to Worship and its ministry, check out their website, www.calltoworship.org. Listen again next week at this time for Call to Worship.
Praise the Lord.